Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. We are so excited that you tuned in to our 20 Forever series. Today's message is about how worship is more than just a song, it's love expressed. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It is a monumental weekend here at Transformation Church, as so many of us have gathered in faith and expectation around our end of the year offering called our Tabernacle Offering. This offering is for expansion and missions and to see what God's called us to do here at Transformation Church expanded. And I am just amazed at how many people have joined their faith and their resources, not just to consume what Transformation Church is doing, but to partner and accelerate it.
TC Nation, this is when you get to be a part. This is when you get to ask God, how can I be generous in this situation? How can I help in this Tabernacle Offering to help push the vision forward, to help affect and change the world in my own personal way? So I ask you, ask God, go into prayer, be stretched, ask Him, what is it that you want me to give? And don't be intimidated by the word or how, you know, churchy it can sound. This is just simply you getting to show your heart to be able to express your love to God and for the church. And so, you guys, we're excited about it.
We're so excited about it because maybe you want to give a one-time gift or a reoccurring gift, start tithing, all those different things. I know that all of us doing something is going to allow for God to do more than we could do by ourselves. Okay. So listen, click the give button if you want to and be a part of this Tabernacle Offering. Enjoy this week's message.
So let's get into it right now. Get out your notes, get out your pens. I have a word for you today. As we are in the last week of our series that is called 20 Forever, How to Worship a King. And I just think it's so amazing because we're going to give at the end of service today. But we're talking about worship. And I want you to write down this definition if you're just joining us for this series. I want you to write down this definition of worship. Worship is our love expressed. Everybody say love expressed. Oh, y'all got to say it with your chest. Say love expressed.
Love expressed.
It's our love expressed to God as a response to His grace towards us. The thing that I got the full revelation of is God really challenged me one day in my quiet time. He said, Michael, I was finding it hard to worship. Like, I was frustrated about life situations and all that other stuff. And I don't know if I'm the only one that sometimes finds it hard to like spend the time that's necessary that we say we're going to. And I was doing that. And God said, Mike, this can't be a decision you're making every day to worship me. He said, it has to be a discipline. He said, because this is what you're going to do with me forever. And I was like, what do you mean? He said, if people hate worship now, they're going to hate heaven. Because that's what we're going to do in heaven. We're going to be expressing our love to God day after day. And we get rehearsal right now on earth. But so many things try to take our attention. And we try to get our attention on things that are not like God. And so this whole series, we spent 7 weeks talking about what worship is and how to worship. And I wanted to end this series kind of strong with something that I found out about worship. Because if worship is expressing our love, I was like, well, that's pretty easy. We should all be able to express our love. And then God stopped me. He said, Michael, anytime you're really about to express love, anytime you're really about to give somebody a gift that is worth something to you, there's a sacrifice that happens before it. And I begin to think, okay, God, you got to explain this to me. And so today, the title of the message is The Sacrifice of Worship. The Sacrifice of Worship. Because I don't want anybody to think that what we bring to God should be something that's left over. Anything that we bring to God, and it's so funny that so many people call on God when they need Him, but we bring not our best to Him with our lives, with our hearts, with our finances. And God said, Michael, there's got to be a sacrifice. I said, God, okay, you're going to have to give me a practical example of what sacrifice looks like to express your love. And then it came to me. I'm going to share like a real personal moment with everybody right now that happened in my personal life. This is back in 2009 when I proposed to Natalie. And I just want you to see it, and then I'm going to explain all the crap that was going on behind the scenes at the time. And I just want you to see how there was a sacrifice to me expressing my love to her. Take a look at the screen.
It's Cheddar's. It's dinner for two. Oh, my. Oh, my. Praise the Lord. Okay, it's your turn, Natalie. Go ahead, open your box.
Today is my birthday, and on my birthday, I want to give you a gift. I want to give you a gift of my love, my devotion, my heart. My time, my energy, my devotion, my flaws, and my draws. And I know that we weren't supposed to do this for another 4 months, but I've been working really hard and saving. And I want to know today, will you marry me? Family, for letting me be able to do this. I love y'all. And this is going to
be oh my God, baby!
This is just proof I've been crazy for a long time, y'all.
But as I look back at that, it brought me so much joy. The crazy thing that you don't know about it is that was a moment. But before that moment of expressing my love to her, there was a lot of sacrifice. Because the ring she picked cost a lot of money. And not to mention that we had set a plan, but there was something in me that wanted to express my love, and so there took a sacrifice before I did it. Not to mention that I lost 10 pounds being in that box for 20 minutes in this position the entire time, trying not to topple over. But I was not gonna let anything stop me from expressing my love to her. That's the same thing that is required when we worship God, is that there has to be a sacrifice attached to our worship. And this is why it's never convenient. That's why they call it a sacrifice of praise. It'll never be like, oh, today's the day that everything went right and my schedule is good and my hair is working perfectly. Now let me spend time with. It'll never be that. Because you got to realize that this whole thing is about priority and putting God first. Everybody say first. And so I said, God, you're going to have to help me. You're going to have to help me understand and then teach the people you've entrusted me with how to live a life that we will sacrifice, we will give, we will do, we will share whatever you call us to do as an act of worship. Because remember, worship is not a song. Worship is not your favorite Hillsong. It's not your favorite Elevation. It's not your favorite Tasha Cobbs. That is an expression of worship. But worship is the way you live. Worship is the way you care for people. Your worship, you're expressing your love. When somebody does you wrong and you think about how God, who you did wrong, had grace for you, it changes the way you respond to people. And that is worship unto God. And I know a lot of people don't like it. Because what we want to do is we want to put our worship into a box and into a moment. And God says, I need you to worship me 20 forever. So I'm going to take you to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And honestly, this is one of my favorite scriptures because this is where we get the name of our church, Transformation Church, from. But I saw it in a brand new lens after I started thinking about worship, what worship really means, being love expressed, and there has to be a sacrifice of worship. Look at it. It says, therefore, I urge you, like I'm up here today, I'm begging you.
brothers and sisters, everybody watching, everybody listening, by the mercies of God, the grace he's already shown us, you gotta please present your bodies. This is just my body right here? No. All of you. Look at it in the Amplified Version. It says, dedicating all of yourself, set apart as a living sacrifice. Hold on, Pastor Mike, what are you saying? God don't want your money. He wants you. Like, he doesn't just want your service. He wants you. Well, Pastor, I would rather it just be a part of me. And God said, I paid the price, not for a piece of you. I went to the cross to redeem, to save all of you. And all I'm asking for, like the true way for you to worship me, is for you to express it by giving me back everything I gave you. Well, then we start counting. Well, what did I come in the world with? Uh-oh. Nothing? I mean, I gave myself, not even the breath that I breathe wasn't something that I gave myself. And so God's asking all of us, and I need you to write this point down. All of you is all he wants. I need you to remember this right now. Like, all of you, your time, your service, your finances, your heart. See, what God wants to know is, can I trust somebody that I know that I have all of them, that at any moment I call on something from them, they're not going to fight me like it was theirs in the first place, that they're going to give it to me because they know all of them came from all of me. And this is the hard battle to fight, because somehow you think you deserve what you have. And if we got what we deserved, what sin, what the wages of sin is, what does it tell us that is? Death. But the grace of God saw us in our faults, saw me addicted to pornography. And I know y'all gonna sit up here like you've been perfect your whole life, but I'm telling you, I was messed up from the inside. And God said, yeah, I like him. Matter of fact, I died for him. And matter of fact, I'm gonna keep showing my grace to him when he doesn't even deserve it. I'm going to keep saving him even when he doesn't deserve it. When he blasphemes me and tries to tell me that I don't want you in my life, I'm going to keep coming after him, because if I get his heart, maybe one day I'll get all of him. That's real worship, where it's not quarantined to this part or this part of you. Let me prove it to you. Let's read the rest of the verse, because it's going to take faith for you to live like this. But I'm trying to tell you, this is the end of the goal. This is what we're trying to all get to, is where God can speak to us and he can say, go give to that person in the Quick Trip line, and you don't have a 4-minute conversation over $10. Oh, come on, don't act like I'm the only one. Well, what if they think it's odd? Or like, or God tells you, hey, just run by your sister's house. Well, that's out of the way. No, you just worshiped me and said, you'll give me all of you. You just said, I'll give my life away so you can use me. And then I ask you to simply run, because you don't know she's thinking about committing suicide right now. And I need somebody who will worship me. No, not just ride with your hands up to your house. We'll turn the car around and be inconvenienced. Y'all need somebody to hear me. Be inconvenienced to meet the need of one of God's children. And that makes me ask, do we even know what worship is? After 7 weeks, I'm still getting challenged. Like, because if God's definition of worship is, I need you to not sing a song, but be a living sacrifice. Look what it says. It says, holy and acceptable, well-pleasing to God, which is, I love this part, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of what? Worship. I need you to see this. The only reason you would say something is, I mean, that's reasonable, is if somebody did something so much greater and they asked you for something so little. So like if Grayson I gave him $2,000. If I gave my brother $2,000 in the morning, and then tonight I come and be like, man, I forgot my wallet. Can I have $20? And he was like, no. First off, he wouldn't be living. But anybody who saw that would say, it's reasonable for you to give him 20 when he gave you 2,000. In view of what God did on the cross for us, it's reason. When God asks us for our lives, it is a reasonable request because he looked past your faults. He saw your needs. He poured love on you. He put grace out on you. And I can tell by the claps you don't even believe it. See, the problem with the church today is you thought this whole thing was about you. And the problem is it's about you until you grow up to realize it's about somebody else. So that's why all children think about what do they get for Christmas. And all adults think about who do they have to give gifts to. Now that may just tell you right now if you're a child or an adult right now, because some of y'all 52 thinking about what you get and stop it. All I'm saying is there comes a point where you switch over in maturity where it's not about what you receive. It's about what you what? Give. And so God's saying, hey, in view of the grace and mercy I've given you, all I'm asking for is all of you. And I promise you, what I can do with your life is better than what you can do with it. What I can do with your finances are better than what you can do with it. What I can do with your relationship is better than what you've done with it. If you give it to me right now in the broken state, I can do more with it. Then I can make this a testimony. I can change your life. I can transform your future. But it takes us having everybody say faith. And I know that's a hard word in 2019, the 18, to be able to process, because faith is basically what we can see that we're hoping for. But the Bible tells us that faith is what we see invisibly. Like when my eyes is closed, I got to believe it's there. And this is why the Bible right here in verse 2 of it is so strategic. I love it. He tells you to give your whole body, and then he tells you you have to not do something. It says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. And that's hard because many of our instructions are coming from people who are not connected to the source. And so we scroll up on Instagram and we see what everybody's buying and nobody's talking about what they're giving. And so we start conforming to a pattern that has no kingdom purpose, that will literally burn up when we go. And God said, would you be a part of something that's eternal? Would you be a part of something that would transform somebody else's life? He said, don't be conformed to this world any longer with the superficial values and customs. And if we're honest, that's what a lot of the things we believe in are. They're superficial. They're hollow on the inside. If you touch them, it just becomes dust. It says, but be, everybody say transformed. Transformed. Say it like you mean it. Say transformed. Transformed. Be transformed. I love this. And progressively changed. Do you know that's why God has you here? Like you thought you just ended up here. God wanted you to be in a place that you would be able to transform. The reason why we're doing this tabernacle offering today is because God wanted to give you an opportunity to go from the place you have been to the place that he's calling you to. The reason that God, you was like, oh, I thought I was coming because there was cute girls here. Nope. You are coming here because God wanted to transform your life. And now here's your opportunity. But will you stand and act like this is regular, or will you take the step like hundreds of us are going to do today and say, I'm stepping outside of myself and I'm using my faith and I'm obeying God, and it feels like there's nothing here. But God, if you told me, I will obey. And as we give today, what you got to realize is God's transforming you. Because I don't know about you, but all of our nature seems to be selfish at first. But God's saying, when you become more like me, my nature is giving. My nature is generosity. For God so loved the world, he did what? Yeah. Didn't keep. Didn't hoard. Didn't hold. When you think about what God's done for you, it's supposed to be this thing that comes out of us to be giving. It says, so it be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually. And I'm so excited because that's what many of us are going to do today. It says, by the renewing of your mind. Focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes. What I'm telling you is today, Transformation Church, is adopting a godly value, and you're implementing it in your family. We're going to put God first in our finances. We know what the Bible says. Where our treasure is, our heart follows. And so many people are saying, God, you have my heart. And he said, prove it to me. Because when I talk to you, when I speak to you, when I give to you, there's nothing there. And this is the thing I need everybody to understand to me. Again, if you're a visitor, this don't even apply to you. I'm just trying to give you the passion that allows me to be able to stand here with the fire of God on the inside of me, because I know this has been the stronghold for many of you of getting the deliverance that you need, because you won't give God access to your heart. And when you give God access to your heart. When you give him access to your heart, then he can change your habits. But many of us are sitting here trying to hold everything together the same way how we're doing it. And God is saying, will you give me an opportunity to take you to another level and transform you? It says, so that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. So this is the challenge that God challenged me with, and I'm challenging you with. We're going to be either one way, one of these two ways. We're going to either be a believer that has lip service or a believer that has life service. This is exactly how God said. Either you can worship me with your lips and my heart is not really in it, or you can worship me with your life. And everything you have, if I call for it, if I ask you for it, if I whisper it, I need you to hear me. I know that I have a living sacrifice. Let me prove it to you, because some of y'all are looking at me like I just made that up. Isaiah 29, verse 13. And so the Lord says, who said it? Who said it?
The Lord.
These people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips. But their what? Hearts. Their hearts are far from me. I had to really ask myself, God, am I one of these believers who will worship you, say I love God, read my Bible, my lips are there, but anytime you require anything that makes me open up my heart, I'm far from you. The sad truth is, I used to be one of those that God tell me something, I give him 10 reasons why this was not the proper time to be able to make this type of call in my life. And God says, do you make the plans or do I make the plans? And he said, I need another level. And I'm just challenging you today, because we do this at the end of every year. When everybody else is focused on all these other things, we put God at priority and focus him so we can end this year right and start this next year right and see more people transformed in Christ. And God said, are you going to be one of those that just honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me? And listen, here's our word again. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by routine. So either we are going to be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable, transforming, progressing in our faith, becoming spiritually mature, taking the challenge, trying to hear God, going forward, getting together in a vision. Either we're going to be that, or we're going to just be a bunch of, what do you call them, dolls that, ventriloquy? Is that what it is? Ventriloquist. We're going to be a lot of puppets. I like that word better. Whose lips move, but they have no beating heart. And I told God, I said, I won't be that person. And today, isn't it crazy that when you make a decision in your heart to honor God and like step out in faith, then everything start going wrong? Like this week, there's been all type of attacks on our family. This week, stuff started breaking that didn't break before. All this other stuff has been happening. And God says, I allowed that to see where your resolve was. If you're going to stand and trust me, or if you're going to play God in your own life again. And I said, not this day. Not ain't happening. I'm going to stand in faith. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to stand flat-footed. And I'm going to obey. Everybody say obey. What God told me to do. And so I'm telling you this because I just need us to have the ability to move. So you're saying, how do I become a living sacrifice? I want you to write these three words down. Everybody, I searched it in the Bible. They had these three moments a part of it. There was a moment. There was momentum, and then there was miracles. There was a moment, There was momentum, and then there were miracles. And I don't want to expound it a little bit, and I want you to write this down because this thing touched my whole life. A moment of sacrifice brings momentum in faith and allows miracles to manifest. I want to say that again. When you have a moment of sacrifice like we're about to do in just a few minutes, and some of you are going to say, I was planning to do something else with this, but God told me this number, and I'm going to give it. Or some of you just hearing it for the first time, and you're like, I did not sign up for all of this, but God, is that you? And you're going to hear him, and you're going to listen, and you're going to obey. Everybody say moment. A moment will begin to change everything, and it can build momentum to your faith. And when you get momentum in your faith, you set the atmosphere for miracles to manifest. Isn't it strange the testimony that we heard at the moment the young lady decided? Everybody say decided. Decided. That was her moment. And she got faith, like, I'm going to do it no matter what. I still got to get my kids food and da-da-da, but I'm going to do it. Not even an hour later, before she got out the door, she had created an atmosphere around her where God was speaking to somebody. I feel the presence of God right now. And tapped her and gave her. But it could not have happened if she didn't have a moment that she decided of sacrifice that created momentum in her faith that produced miracles. Can we think about Abraham for a second? Abraham had a moment of sacrifice. He literally was going to take his only son, Isaac, and sacrifice him because God said to. Now this is not some ethereal sacrifice. This is real sacrifice. Sacrifice. And I don't think you understand how important this was, because Isaac was the son that Abraham waited on for 100 years. Isn't it crazy that God will bring you to a place of promise and then ask you back for what he gave you? Some of us are walking in promotions that we only dreamed of, and then God asked for something back, and then we're like, this is mine. And God says, can I have all of you? And so he had a moment of sacrifice where he told the servant, no, stay here. Me and the boy are going to go and what? Worship. He called his moment of sacrificing his son his worship to God. And I'm coming in here to tell somebody, you feel like you're giving something. You're not giving something. You're sowing something. What you're doing is you're putting a seed in the ground. It never leaves your life. It may leave your hand, but it's going to show up in another area in the way that you need it, because you got to decide that this is my moment. Somebody say, this is my moment. And this is the thing. When he made a decision that this was his moment, his faith started getting built with every step. How do we know that, Pastor Mike? Because he told his servant to stay there. We're going to go worship. He took his son's hand, and they're walking. And he was so convinced that God told him to do this that he believed that if he killed his son, God had the power to raise him back to life. Do you know that every step he was like, God, you're going to do this. If I got to kill him, you about to raise him. If I got to let this thing go, you're going to bring it back better than it was. If I got to obey you in this, you're going to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. He's sitting there, has his son ready to sacrifice him. He goes down. Bah. His faith created the atmosphere for a miracle, a ram in the bush to show up. All I'm trying to tell everybody that's in the building right now is what we're about to do is mature, because we're not going to be a people. I don't care how old you are. I don't care where you come from. This is an opportunity, and you can pass it by. There'll be another one next year. There'll be another one next week, because God's after your heart. And when we get in the place where God has our heart, we start doing things like Mary. You know Mary, who was at one of the last dinners that would ever be held for Jesus before he was sacrificed. And everybody was busy doing stuff. And Martha was mad. Her sister was like, why you ain't in here cooking? Why you ain't in here washing dishes? She was mad. But Mary knew she had a moment. And she had a moment with Jesus. And what did Mary do? She took the most expensive thing that she had, which some people would have not even considered anything. She took a bowl of oil, or a flask of oil. And the Bible tells us it was worth a year's wages. And what did she do? She went to the dirtiest part on Jesus, his feet. And she kneeled down. And what the world would say was pointless and you should not do, she broke her jar on Jesus's feet. And she anointed him. And then the church people got up and was like, why would you waste that on Jesus's feet? It was Judas. Check your Judases. He said, why would you waste that on Jesus's feet? And the Bible records that he said, you could at least sold it to the poor and sold it and gave the money to the poor. And it records that Judas didn't care about giving the money to the poor. He just didn't like that it wasn't more money coming into the treasury because he was over the treasury and he stole from it often. That's why you can't be concerned about what God tells you to do, because you don't have the same instructions as everybody else. But I want you to see her faith came, like she had a moment with Jesus, and her faith came, her momentum came, because if you read back in the Bible, you'll understand what happened for her. Mary's brother Lazarus was dead, and Jesus raised him back to life. So she remembered all God had done for her. And do you know the Bible tells us that the miracle of that, it was the only time that Jesus got anointed before he went to the cross. If somebody insignificant took what they had, nobody would have chosen her to do this, but because she poured what she had, God said, yeah, that's enough. And it's almost like Jesus, our ultimate sacrifice, who had a moment on the cross. And his moment, he had a human moment. And I love this about our God, is that it didn't leave out the human moments of his suffering. He's on the cross, and he said, this is my moment of sacrifice. And then he says, God, why have you forsaken me? Like, what? Couldn't there have been a different way? This happened, and the Bible tells us that God, for one time, turned away so that he could take on all of the crap I would do. And his one moment of sacrifice created the ability for all of us to have faith in him, to look beyond all our faults and see our need. And it's creating a miracle every time somebody calls on the name of Jesus. All I'm asking you, is this your moment? Is this your moment to see beyond what you can see? To allow your faith to go beyond what you can feel? And I know God's speaking to people right now, and some of y'all said, that's the devil. It might be, if you allow those spirits in, but the devil never tells anybody to give anything. And maybe this is the time where you were thinking I was going to do this, and I was thinking I was going to do that. And this is the beautiful thing. There's no amounts attached. And I preach this unashamed. I don't care if people leave. I don't care if people come back, because I've seen what happens when God gets access to people's hearts. The same people that are mad and leaving and all that other stuff, I do not care, because they'll still be bound. Because when God comes for your life, he comes for your heart. And there's only one way into your heart. It's through your treasure. This is the time where I don't care if you're a college student, I don't care if you're a child, that God wants to see you have a moment today. And it's about to be a spiritual moment. In the last service, it was electric, because I saw people's faith go to another level, and I'm about to see it again in this room. Somebody's feeling something, a stirring in you right now. That's God saying, this is your moment. This is how we go to the next level. And please don't expect the same way that you give is the same way you're getting it back. Because that's that prosperity gospel stuff. You give 10, you get 100. That's stupid. This is not a slot machine. God says, if you give me your life, I'm going to give you what you need when you need it. There are many times that I've given financially and God gave me peace, which there's no amount of money. Do you understand what I'm saying? I've served, and then God gave me favor in a situation that was locked up. God said, you got to trust me. But it comes with us giving. All he wants is all of us. All of me is all he wants. Is it money, God? You can have it. Is it my house, God? You can have it. He's been challenging me with this all year. As many of you know, I gave away my car earlier this year. You want my car? Why? He said, because then I really become Jehovah Jireh, your provider. And this is the beautiful thing. In just a moment, as families gather up here, there's going to be even children. I would say this is so important for you to show your children and to come up here as families. Last night, as I was preparing our offering and our family was around the dinner table and we were talking about what we were going to give and we settled on it, and me and my wife Natalie came into agreement. Everybody say agreement. We don't want no problems. And we came into agreement, and my daughter Bella walked by and she saw money on the table and different things like that, and she was like, what are y'all doing? She was like, I want some money. I said, and I began to explain to her, because something in this generation that's lost is a lot of people were never shown the right way to do things to honor God. And so God said, stop doing what you're doing and teach your daughter now. And so in that moment, I sat there and I said, well, baby, me and mommy have decided to honor God with a lot of money. And the reason we're doing this is because there's a lot of things that God has done, and there's a lot of things that other people think are important. And sometimes mommy and daddy think those things are important too. And so to recenter our heart back on what God has called us to do, we give to God, and we give joyfully, and we give generously. And we don't always have everything that we want to do, but we are gonna give sacrificially. And it was so funny that my daughter went and got her piggy bank. And by herself, she started pulling out her money. My daughter Ava was trying to steal it. Judas! But she pulled the money out of the piggy bank. She had to keep protecting it. But I want you to see something right here. I went to her because I made sure that she wasn't making this decision hastily or out of compulsion, because the Bible says don't make this. Put the camera back on me. They're too cute. They're not gonna understand. Thank you. I made them. Anyway, but I didn't want her to do this out of compulsion, because the Bible tells us I could have manipulated my daughter to give. And so this is what I did. The Holy Spirit's so good. I took her money, $31.85. She's five. And I said, Bella, this is a lot of money. I said, you could buy a lot of Barbies with this. Something I know she loves. I said, do you want to buy Barbies or do you want to give this to God? She said, I want to give it to God, Daddy. I said, why? Like, and I was just playing the devil's advocate. I was like, why? And she said, because I want God to have my heart. Y'all, out of the mouths of babes. Can't make this stuff up. All I'm saying is, she's five. And some of us are 50, 60. Is our heart the same? This gift, this money, this thing you've given me, it's nothing in comparison to what you've already given for us. I will no longer be a Christian with lip service. I want to worship you with my life service. And so today, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back out. We're just going to give. And this is the time that I want you to pray. I want you to pray, God, is there something? Did I miss you? Have I been selfish? Or am I supposed to? And listen, you can't give what you don't have. So there's no pressure to do anything. There's nobody going to be scanning you. Did you give in the tabernacle offering? Like, nobody's doing that. But this is an opportunity for your faith to be stretched. And some of you, God spoke to you in this time. And others of you, you already came prepared. Some of you have already given online. Some of you are so ready. I'm telling y'all, our church is moving forward because people are maturing. I'm seeing people who have never tithed before making a decision. This is going to be my first tithe, and I'm going to keep tithing all of 2019. There are people that are allowing God into the places of their heart that are going to get them healed. And I'm telling you, from somebody who was addicted to pornography, I thought about this yesterday, that the real key to my freedom was when I started tithing consistently. And I literally, people have asked me that over and over and over and over again. Like, how did it do? What happened? And I've been always trying to remember. It's when I made a decision that I would honor God with my finances, I gave God access to a place in my heart that nothing could have got in. And he started healing me of that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing that back to my memory. And I'm telling you, since that day, it has been something that I've had victory over, because God gave me the ability through me allowing him into my heart. All I'm saying to you is, maybe this offering is the moment that is going to bring momentum to your faith and cause miracles to manifest. Very practically, this is what I want everybody to do. In the backs of your seat, there is an offering envelope. or a prayer card. I want everybody to take one. And listen, we're going to worship God through song. If you're giving by cash or check, I want you to put it in there. If you're giving online, I still want you to take a card. And this is what we're doing. We're writing down a word for the year. Like, I want you to write down the word you're believing God for 2019. And I want you to do it in faith, even if you're not giving anything. And where's my wife? Isn't that? Yeah, come out here, babe. Stand with me. Because we're about to give. We're leading from the front right now. This is not something that we're asking everybody else to do. We are in a sacrifice. Oh, my babe. She came to give her offering. Lord, I'm very emotional right now. I'm telling y'all. Because I know what can happen. See, the problem with me is there's a lot of reverse work that had to be done because I was in love with money. But if we teach him at this age to honor God, it changes everything. And what I want you to do is I want you to write legibly what you're giving and what the word that you're believing God for. What's our word this year, babe?
Release.
Release. And what we're believing God for our house, and you can steal our word if you want it. It's a free game for everybody. But we're believing that we're going to release our expectations for our life and what we were wanting to happen. And we want God to release everything that he's purposed for us this year. And we're standing on that. We're standing on it for our family, our son, our marriage. We want God to release it. So that's what we got. I want you to write a word down. And we're going into 21 days of prayer and fasting here in January. We're praying over everything you write on this card, okay? So I want you to make sure you do that. And we're going to give to God, but we're going to give in an atmosphere of worship. So no matter if you're giving online, and let me say this to you, as the people in this building are preparing their gift, we're not going to rush this moment, because this is where people are going from a place that they've been in to the place God's called them to be. And I want to talk to everybody in Transformation Nation. If this ministry has been any significant role in your salvation, your story, your faith, this is your opportunity to partner. To not just give lip service, like, I love Transformation Church, but God can do far more with what you contribute than just consuming. And we want you to be a part of this. God's speaking to some of you right now on your computer, in your bed, as you're watching this on rebroadcast, and we want to see God do something amazing in this place. Hey, listen, as we give today, we're going to give our regular tithe and offering at the same time. There's no other time we're doing this, but I'm so excited. I stand here in faith today, knowing what me and my family are doing, and knowing that God is going to meet every need, because I will not miss this moment to build momentum in our faith so that we can see miracles in motion that manifest. I want to worship God. And so in the next few moments, I'm going to have this sing this song. And I want you to take a time. We're not going to give yet. I want you to ask God, is there something I'm supposed to do, God? If he don't say nothing, don't do nothing. But if he speaks to you, obey. Because your obedience is better than any sacrifice. And we're going to have the audacity to worship. Hey, can I tell you this last thing? It's funny that I started this whole thing talking about a marriage proposal, me proposing to Natalie. And it's so crazy that I got the parallel in the Word of God that the cross is God's engagement ring to his bride, the church. So when God sent Jesus to the cross, he got down on one knee and he said, hey, will you marry me? And he made a sacrifice, like I sacrificed and didn't eat and all that other stuff to get this ring, glory to God. He made a much greater sacrifice. And it's so crazy that if I would have got down like this after I sacrificed, after I did all that, after I stayed in that box for 20 minutes and almost died, you said, thank you, you're welcome. After I did all of that, if Natalie would have stood there and not responded, everybody wouldn't have think, what's wrong with the groom? They would say, girl, you're tripping. I'll take your place. What's wrong with the bride? The same thing that people may be asking right now. After Jesus gave such an amazing sacrifice, how could we stand and not respond and worship God with our lives? Today, I'm telling you that the angels stand and watch and like, why would the prince of heaven, give all of that for an unfaithful, dirty, lying bride made of dirt, clay, and water? Like, why would he do that? But this is what I found out, that the cross demonstrates to heaven, hell, and all of humanity how much the groom, Jesus, loves his bride, us. But worship displays to heaven, hell, and all of humanity how much the bride, everybody say me, how much I love the groom. Today we're going to express our worship to God as we bring a sacrificial gift to God. And I want it to come out of worship right now. So if you would, can we just lift up this song right now? Just what a beautiful name.
What a beautiful name it is.
Come on, just sing it.
What a beautiful name it is.
The name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Come on, just get lost in his presence right now.
What a beautiful name.
Listen.
It is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Come on, everybody standing. Let's sing that again.
What a beautiful name it is.
Come on, lift it up.
What a beautiful name it is.
The name.
The name of Jesus.
Come on, if you're online right now, just begin to worship God right there in your home. Just say,
what a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus.
So I'm about to pray a prayer in faith. And I'm believing that as we step over this line and as we obey God and as our faith is moved and we don't miss this moment, God's going to do something supernatural in this place. If you have your gift or your card, why don't you lift it up right now? I want to pray for you. Father, I thank you right now that every person that has the faith to give, God, I thank you that you're meeting every one of their needs. I come against the lie of the enemy that will come to try to stop and bring fear and doubt. In the name of Jesus, we declare that this church is built with willing hearts. And Father, you are about to give us the plan to see more people transformed in Christ. Today, we stand in the sacrifice of others. And today, we become those who will make the sacrifice for other people to see transformation in Christ. I come against right now grief. I come against depression. I come against division. I come against everything that would try to lie and tell people that this is the wrong thing to do. Father, be God in this moment. I thank you that you're meeting the needs of your people and you're moving us forward. We trust you, we believe you, and we thank you. And we give this in faith in Jesus' name. Somebody give God a shout of praise in this place.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or at transformchurch.us/give. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now go and live a transformed life.